Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. I am here with you. It's Monday, January 4th. Obviously, the Grizzlies did have another Sunday game last night. They were in it for three quarters, but unfortunately, arguably the greatest player of all time decided to take over in the fourth quarter. LeBron James, unfortunately, stood out in the fourth quarter, and the Grizzlies lost, I believe, 108-94. But another very competitive game by this Grizzlies team that is showing a bit of a higher ceiling competition-wise when it comes to the roster that they have to utilize right now. And plenty of us are enjoying it. And I have someone that I am going to enjoy talking with about that. The Grizzlies. She's well known among Grizzlies Twitter. She is the beat writer for the Memphis Flyer. She is the co-founder and site manager for All Heart and Hoop City. Her name is Amy Stigemeyer, and she has been kind enough to join us. Amy, how are you doing this Monday morning?
I'm good. Happy New Year. We're in 2021, and I think that's really all that needs to be said about that.
I could not agree more. The reason why I am thrilled to talk with Amy is because I don't know if Amy remembers this or not, but this will be something that we talk about. Me and Amy's first interaction on Twitter was about 2 years ago, and I was sitting here talking about trading Garrett Temple, and me and Amy did not take too kindly to that. As we've seen, if you are someone that's going to suggest putting a Grizzly in a trade package, for obvious reasons, Amy loves the continuity that the Grizzlies provide, which is there now with this team. So especially if it's Brandon Clark, she is the president of you will not trade Brandon Clark, and for good reason. But yes, that was me and Amy's first interaction. Do you remember that by any chance, Amy? It was about 2 years ago when
was it one that Joe brought up?
I think so. Yes, it was.
Bless his heart. We love Joe. But he is a fan of his incredibly problematic trade scenarios. I like to have a sense of humor about this. A couple of years ago, I did mock trades and I traded away a whole bunch of stuff that Grizz Twitter was going to be ready to get rid of over the weekend when they had gotten off to such a bad start. It was really I'm trying to remember now off the top of my head. I know that we traded Peyton Brevin for Sattler and Walton or Wobbles. Yeah. The Muppets. I can't even talk. And if you hear the intermittent dog barking, I apologize. My dog has no manners. She's rude. So
mine doesn't either.
I tried to tell her, I'm like, okay, talking. I told the kids are upstairs, my husband's upstairs, everybody's, they know I'm recording a thing talking about basketball, and everybody respects that except for the dog. So, it is what it is. You want to kind of break down what we watched tonight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's break it down. And the thing that we want to break down is that's the thing about Amy, is that I always enjoy interacting with her on Twitter because she really values the positive things off the court that are there with this culture. And because of that culture, Amy, you have players who, if they finally get healthy, you see under Taylor Jenkins, they develop. And there's no better example of that this year than Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson, last night, 19 shots. You may not want to see him do that, but still 18 points contributed in other ways as well. But he has really stood out this year, in the absence of our star players. He is one of the biggest reasons, both, two-way, on defense and offense, that this Grizzlies roster is remaining competitive besides their best players being out there. But speaking of players who we were throwing out there as potential trade pieces, Kyle has put all that to rest and has shown that he truly is a piece that can be here and succeed in Taylor Jenkins' system.
Absolutely. I have not heard any whispers yet of Kyle Anderson trade rumors this season, but again, it's early and if they don't start winning a little more consistently, there's always going to be people who were, this isn't working, we need to trade somebody, we need to, you know, to do something different. And I think something that would be very salient to keep in mind is this is still only year two of a complete rebuild for this team. And they've never had a blow it all the way up and start over again rebuild the way that they did this. You know, they went all in on the core four for a long time, which I'm absolutely, like, I agree with that. You know, I would have liked to see that team get a ring. And honestly, if Mike Conley didn't get his face broken in 2015, I think we've all been having a very different conversation. Because, I mean, they almost beat the Warriors even with Mike's face broken. And that team, healthy, beat the brakes off the Warriors a couple of times the next season. You know, when everybody on that team was healthy, I would give them, I mean, maybe not the 2016 Warriors, but the 2015 Warriors, definitely. You know, and now they're kind of starting over from scratch, which is not something that's really been done before. You know, new front office management, obviously there's a lot better decision-making on display from a management standpoint as far as, like, draft picks go. You know, I mean, there's just absolutely nothing bad to say about the moves that they've made. And I feel like, you know, for the fact that, you know, our injury list is, you know, 5 pages long, that they held their own against, you know, the defending champions tonight or last night. And I feel like that in and of itself is something to appreciate. And the ceiling for this team, I don't even think has been set yet. I'm actually gonna refrain overall judgment on what I might think of this season until we get Ja and Jaren back playing together, which hopefully will be, you know, within the next few weeks. Because they have the capacity to be really good, and we've seen that. So, you know, the natural evolution of both of their playing styles as they get more comfortable, I wouldn't mind, you know, waiting to see how that's going to play out. You know, I'm good with the core of the team that we have, trying to build on that and move forward. You know, I would not trade Brandon Clark. I absolutely would not trade Brandon Clark. And a lot of people, I don't think, really truly appreciated how good he was, how effective he was last season. You know, I know Zion Williamson is, you know, said to be one of the new faces of the league, but when I tell you that we got the two best players in the draft last in 2019, I kind of feel like they did.
Amen.
You know, and what Brandon Clark can do well, and, you know, he's got a tremendous amount of athleticism. You know, now that he's starting to look more like he did last season, that's going to pay dividends for the Grizzlies down the road. And I feel like, especially someone who has such a solid foundation. There's been some discussion about how his shooting form looks, which I'm not going to lie, that has looked a little garbage to start the season. but that appears to be, you know, improving as well. And I feel like if you've already shown us what you can do, and we know you have the capacity to play to that level, I'm not necessarily afraid that when he's completely healthy, he's not going to measure up to that, because I feel like he will. And, you know, even if he just, you know, comes off the bench and continues to feed on, you know, team second units, he absolutely feasted last year. And, you know, that's the sort of player that they need to build around. You know, I mean, obviously Jared and Ja, but, you know, to have these role players who can, you know, who can do things, and there's always the potential for someone to step up and have a big night. You know, lately it's been Kyle Anderson. I will live with him having 19 field goal attempts. My issue is that 8 of them were 3-point attempts. I really wish that the team in general, please, for the love of all that is good and holy in this world, drive to the basket. If the shot's not falling, don't keep trying to force it over and over again. Because I feel like that will come, but there's been so many possessions where I've seen somebody jack up a three, you know, not even midway into the shot clock, and I feel like that's just a wasted possession. You know, yeah, 3 points is more than 2 points, but 2 points is more than no points, which in a lot of situations I feel like that we should see more, you know, go into the lane, finishing around the rim. Say what you want about outside shooting, and that's great, and we definitely need it. But I mean, there's no reason for Kyle Anderson to have 8 3-point attempts. There's just not. You know, and some nights they shoot well from three, and that's great. And some nights, like tonight, they do not. You know, there are certain players that I feel like are going to keep trying to take those shots no matter what, Dylan Brooks being one of them. Desmond Bane, I feel like, has they should just give him the green light to shoot whenever he feels like it, because I'm not mad at his performance. He has turned out to be pretty effective. He's given them something, which is, you know, more than what most of the bench can say. I realize that right now, you know, with the number of injuries that this roster has suffered, that players are at a premium, and they kind of need warm bodies. Once that list starts getting shorter and we have guys that are coming back, you know, from injury and that are healthy again, I don't think Sean McDermott brings really anything useful to the Grizzlies roster other than a warm body that could eat some minutes. I have not been very impressed with his play. And I would rather see those minutes go to somebody else.
Well, then that's the other thing, though, is we'll get more into a few of these players that you mentioned a little bit later on in the show. But, you know, with Kyle and, you know, Brandon, you know, as well as others, you could throw Tillman and Bane in from this draft class, Amy, is that the Grizzlies have put a lot of emphasis on high effort, high IQ players. These are players that, you know, they probably are limited due to age or, you know, due to athleticism or whatever. You know, Kyle certainly isn't the most athletic person out there, but he makes the most of what he has based off his IQ. And I think that goes for a lot of the Grizzlies role players. And I think that's really what helped us exceed expectations last year and will kind of help get this rebuild accelerated more than you see other players do, you know, or more other teams do. So many teams are about potential. Well, the Grizzlies are about production plus potential and thinking that the right player can turn their production into potential in time. And that's what I think we're seeing. But I think Kyle Anderson and Brandon Clark and, you know, others, they're really showing that the Grizzlies are making the right investments in high IQ, high effort players that are making on both ends of the court, especially with how our defense has played the past week.
I agree. I mean, you know, there's something to be said for having a star player, but nobody wins a title without good role players. And to have guys on this team who, like you said, they may not have the most in terms of athleticism, you know, but they have a good basketball IQ. They've got good decision-making ability. You know, Kyle Anderson has played some smart basketball. You know, I mean, he may not be the fastest down the court. That's pretty sure that's how he earned his nickname. But, you know, on the whole, he gives you something on both ends of the floor on pretty much every possession that he is a part of. And those are the kind of players that Memphis needs.
Oh, 100%. And the defense, the high IQ. I mean, at the end of the day, you can talk when the second units come into play, and that's where a lot of these players are going to be when Ja, Justice, and Jaren come back. But in that second unit, what helps out last year, and we'll get into Tyus and Brandon here in just a moment, but what helped out last year was the efficiency of those two, but it was also the high IQ that the Grizzlies had on their bench versus other teams. That's why in some of the best lineups, 3- and 4-man lineups that you saw Melton, you saw Clark, Tyus, and Kyle. So it's really nice to see these players succeed in even expanded roles and make you realize how strong this team will be once they get going. But something that I mentioned over the past few podcasts is that this team was going to start improving once Tyus and Brandon Clark got going, got to be in their old selves that we got so used to last year. Over the past few games, they certainly have. In a moment, me and Amy are going to come back, and we're going to talk about Brandon and Tyus and how they're starting to find their grooves that we got so used and glad to see in last year. You've been asking for weeks if you were ready for some football, but now the bigger question becomes, are you ready for some championship football? The most exciting time of the year when it comes to the sport of football is right around the corner. The national championship game in college football and the NFL playoffs starting off next week. Well, every year, like nearly all of us, I know that you're very excited to watch such good football games on the horizon, but why not be able to profit off them a little bit as well? And that's what you can do through our great friends over at BetOnline.ag. That's BetOnline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Great lines, great opportunity, great, great, great options there at BetOnline.ag for you not only to have fun during these exciting football times, but also to profit a little bit with your wagers. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. This is a great new show on the Locked On Podcast Network, and I can tell you so far they've been pretty accurate with their locks of the day. Make sure you check out Locked On Bets for your latest covers when it comes to the best bets out there on a daily basis. So, Amy, we joked about, you defending Brandon Clark. There's no need to trade him. But all joking aside, there is a reason why that is. He's not the best talent that the Grizzlies have. He doesn't have the most, he doesn't add the most value or things such as that. But I will say, when he is healthy and when he is going, he is the biggest advantage the Grizzlies have because of what he does off the bench. I think a perennial sixth man of the year, at least, if not a higher ceiling. But like you mentioned in the first segment, he's so good at his strengths. What about Brandon really stands out to you that makes you so glad that he's a part of the Grizzlies now and certainly is viewed as being a part of their future as well?
The way that he snatches rebounds and the way that he does not give up on plays. I have seen him follow through. That's players who don't see all the way to the end of the possession. Even when you think, okay, well, this is going to be a miss. I mean, he's probably the best offensive rebounder we have right now. I'd probably have to look at some numbers to tell you for sure. But, you know, he's smart. He has incredible court vision. So, you know, he sees on the floor passes to make. And he's very efficient in rebounding, which is never not going to be a thing that the Grizzlies don't need. That's always going to, like, you will always need somebody who can, you know, can pull off the glass. That's basketball. You know, but especially when you get him, like, you know, when we saw Brandon with Jaren last year, they played really well off of each other. And, you know, to have the guys who are really good at the things that they're really good at, you know, the way that Brandon is, you know, with rebounding, with, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over particularly a lot. You know, he's not usually in foul trouble. I mean, it seems like kind of middling praise, but it's really not. Because if you look at what he contributes to a game, there's always going to be something there that he can do that the Grizzlies will need. And, you know, the only, I don't want to say benefit, because I don't think there's really a benefit to injured players, but I think the silver lining to this is being able to see a lot of guys who are going to end up on the, who are going to end up in the second unit. You know, have a chance to go out and make the Grizzlies look a little more competitive than they have any right to be. Because by all rights, they should still be an incredibly bad team. They should have been way worse last season than they were. But, you know, good players, Ja, maybe we won't have to trust the process quite so much, I guess. I don't know. Last year I felt like, and I took some heat for saying this, I felt like I didn't think that making the playoffs should be a goal. I think if it happened organically, that would be great. But, you know, I would much rather focus on development and then see. You know, I didn't particularly want to see that team get chewed up by the Lakers in the first round. But, you know, obviously I'd still watch it if they made it. Because I still feel like they're definitely in a development phase. You know, when they have a full season of having everybody, knock on wood, 100%. You know, as they continue to mesh well together, and, you know, like you said, these are guys that play well within Taylor Jenkins' system. And I haven't seen any reason to think that they won't be good as their better players get healthier and return to the lineup.
Agreed. And that's the other thing about it is that these players compliment Ja and Jaren so much. You know, Brandon Clark's efficiency and Jonas Valanciunas, you know, traditional big man, you know, skills, rebounding, things like that. They do a good job of complementing Jaren's, you know, areas of growth, his rebounding, you know, his fouls, things like that. It's a nice duo to have supporting Jaren. But just like Brandon supporting Jaren, I think that the Grizzlies hit the nail on the head in finding the perfect complement to Ja in terms of making sure that the Grizzlies stay consistent with Ja off the court. And we've seen just how valuable Tyus is with how, for lack of a better term, lost at times the Grizzlies are when Ja's off the court. We saw it in the bubble when Tyus was injured. We've seen it when he struggled, but he's now finding his groove. Tonight led the Grizzlies in points. Another very efficient night, multiple threes, coming off just one shot of his career high with 12 assists against Charlotte. His efficiency is his calling card, but his all-around value added is improving as well, Amy. And I think that that's another one of the biggest strengths of this team in the 1-2 combination of Tyus Jones or John Morant and Tyus Jones. This Grizzlies team, because they find so much success when they have a lot of the assists, they boast one of the best point guard combinations in the league. And when both those guys are healthy and going, that's when we're at our best and we can compete one.
Absolutely. You know, the game in Charlotte, you know, you didn't see Tyus Jones scoring a lot of points, but he made his, you know, he made up for that in the number of assists. You know, if he's not making shots and he's trying to get his teammates in a position where they can make shots, he plays very unselfish basketball, and I like that. You know, and as far as, you know, having guys like Jonas and Brandon, I'm a big believer in the traditional big. I know that small ball is the thing in the NBA these past few seasons. But, I mean, one of the things that was just so great about watching, you know, the grit and grind era Grizzlies is Zach Randolph is like a damn near 7 foot ballerina in the paint. His footwork was majestic, and the way that they used to be able to pull teams into the paint and beat them down like that, where they just drag you into the, and they just wear you down. And I think, you know, we see a touch of that now. Especially right now with Ja and Jaren both out, Jonas Valanciunas needs to be more involved offensively. You know, get him started early, let him post up. He's got, you know, a tremendous amount of value that he can give, even when he's not. When he's not leading the team scoring, but I mean he's still going to give you 10 and 10 at least, you know, and that kind of consistency, it may not be the volume that some people would like, but the consistency that he gives you, what he gives you, is something that the Grizzlies can bank on.
And that consistency is something that you're banking on right now is of the utmost importance with the stars out. But the great thing about that you mentioned earlier is that it does seem like there was an upgrade when we got this front office. And we're talking about the depth that was already here. But this offseason, the Grizzlies went back and brought in another level of depth that many of us didn't think about. And that, of course, was with the rookie class that they got, you know, probably about 6 weeks ago. We're going to take another break. But when me and Amy come back, you know, we've talked about Kyle, Brandon, and Tyus and Jonas. But what about the rookies who we saw play together for the first time last night? We'll talk about Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman coming up. Though the 2020 calendar year is over, one of the great products that we talked with you about plenty of times last year goes into 2021 even better than the already great benefit that it was to many people who have been able to enjoy the health benefits that it offers for months now. And that is Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's a great way for you to add benefit to your day, whether you have it for breakfast, whether you have it in the afternoon for a snack, or before or after a workout. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, plus gives you the great health benefits we all want to add to our day, especially for your New Year's resolutions. Now, they already had 12 great flavors. Well, now they have 18 great flavors to choose from over at BuiltBar.com. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you can get 20% off your next order using the promo code LOCKEDON, plus while supplies last, a free cooler. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order from BuiltBar, plus a free cooler while supplies last. But I can tell you this, if you were to add Built Bar to your day, it would be there to stay. Go to BuiltBar.com right now, 20% off your next order from Built Bar using the promo code LOCKEDON, and while supplies last, a free cooler. coming up this week. We certainly will have another preview for the game against the Lakers tomorrow, as well as covering a new signing that has come out today for the Grizzlies and what is on the horizon as far as some of the Grizzlies' young players when it comes to their contracts. And on Wednesday's show, we will review the Lakers game and also look at how sustainable the best new thing that's in Memphis, which is this version of Kyle Anderson, as well as the emergence of rookie Desmond Bane. Just how sustainable are their starts, both for Kyle Anderson and Desmond Bane? All that coming up over the next 2 days here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So, Amy, you know, you mentioned Joel Mullinax's other. He's a friend of the show, site manager over at Grizzly Bear Blues. I've had the pleasure of, you know, being on his staff over there for a few years now. He and others have really started this campaign of starting Desmond Bane, and it makes perfect sense. But the thing that you see Bane getting more comfortable as a scorer at all three levels. But me and you were talking about it before the show. I'd be willing, in terms of shooting pedigree, in terms of their natural ability to shoot when they came to the Grizzlies, I think Bane is a top five shooting talent already in the history of the Grizzlies in terms of how much shooting talent he had at the beginning of his career. And it makes a difference every time he's on the court. You mentioned him having the green light. I agree completely, but you know, just some really, really positive results so far from his play, and it certainly seems like he's worthy of an expanded role going forward.
Definitely. I am proud to join the Start Desmond Bane, You Coward. Oh my gosh, I can't even talk. Start Desmond Bane, You Cowards campaign. You know, I feel like as he gets more comfortable and he can pick up more minutes, he did come in with, you know, more shooting talent that, like, you know, like you said, than a lot of people, a lot of rookies bring. You know, Ja was kind of the anomaly as far as that was concerned. You know, I mean, Jaren was fantastic as a rookie too. But other than that, historically, their draft picks have not been the best. I'm trying to think of like the most diplomatic way to say this, but you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of Xavier Tillman. What I've seen of Desmond Bane, give him the green light to shoot the ball whenever he wants to. You know, he's proven at the very least that he's worth taking on some of those minutes. You know, especially with their depth being kind of hindered by the number of guys that are injured. You know, they only had 9 players the other night. That, you know, you have to take everybody that you can get in that, I guess, in that case. But more than just, you know, somebody who can eat up some minutes, you know, who can get your starting players some time off the court, or guys who can come in and actually do something positive and contribute something positive just about every time they play. You know, and Desmond Bane is going to be one of those. Gorgui Dieng has actually been not bad. I think that's that veteran leadership thing that, you know, with this being probably the youngest Grizzlies team that we've seen, you know, we went from having a very veteran heavy team to now being an incredibly young squad. So, you know, there's definitely value in having some guys around who, you know, who are seasoned, who have kind of been around the league. You know, last season we had Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill, who both really and truly made a much bigger difference than anybody expected that they would. You know, as much as I would have loved to have kept Jay Crowder, he was going to go somewhere else in free agency anyway. I feel like the trade they did for Justice Winslow was more they were building for the future. You know, and as he gets back to 100% and where he can get back on the court, those were not win now decisions. And I'm glad for that, because historically win now decisions have not always fared the best for Memphis. But you know, building organically around the really good players that you have, and then you add in guys who, I mean, nobody's really going to be checking for, you know, Gorgui Dieng. You know, nobody's probably going to be checking for Grayson Allen. But there's still guys who can give you something productive. And at the very least, they're not hurting you on the court. You know, I guess if you know, whoever they have in the lineup, you know, if you're going to have somebody on the floor, at the very least, they cannot make your game worse. Even if they're not giving you something positive, at the very least, make sure you don't have somebody that's taking something away. And I think that's something that all of these, you know, second string guys, for, you know, lack of a better term, that's something that they all have in common for the Grizzlies. Is there something that they can do? There's something that they can contribute. Are they the best player on the team? No, not by far. Are they the best player on the bench? Probably not. But they're still able to go out and play hard, play within the system, you know, that Taylor Jenkins is creating, and they do something. Maybe not every time, but, you know, enough for there to be some value there. It's hard to really gauge how they're going to look this early on in the season, especially with this being kind of, this is like the Mr. Potato Head roster. And it's like the misshapen Mr. Potato Head. You have the pieces and that work. They're just not all in the right spots yet.
I think that's a wonderful analogy. It makes perfect sense. But the thing is that, you know, in time, you've got to make those pieces, you know, better. You've got to put in the effort to make those pieces better and develop them. And that's something that we've seen with Taylor Jenkins. You know, with the front office that we have in place now, it's the competence that has been refreshing. With Taylor Jenkins, it's the development up and down the roster. I mean, there's tons of examples from last year and this year so far, Amy, where Taylor Jenkins has taken several different levels of players and helped them meet better than expected results so far in Memphis. And I know that you're someone who puts a lot of emphasis, and rightfully so, on the veterans. You know, I know that these veterans have a lot of, you know, value to the Grizzlies. And for someone like me who likes to talk about trading them away a lot, there's still value in them helping build this culture that certainly matters, and that's part of the equation. But on that same end, you know, we saw that commitment to the veterans during the Grit Grind era. But this new added, you know, emphasis on development, it's also really nice to see Taylor Jenkins put in the effort. And I truly do think he is a difference-making developer and teacher. And I think that you're seeing that up and down the roster, and it gets you excited about what these rookies can do when they fully get, you know, their minutes and get comfortable out there. Bain, Tillman, others, it's really going to be exciting to see these guys really step into their roles with Jenkins' guidance.
Absolutely. I think in terms of the head coaches that we've had in recent history, I think in terms of player development, Taylor Jenkins is, you know, far and away the best coach that we've had in that regard for quite some time. Dave Yeager player development wasn't really his forte. And again, that was one thing that you saw with having so many established players on the team, is there wasn't even even a how do I want to say this? You didn't see even a small emphasis on development and in ways that I think that actually it turned out to be quite detrimental for the Grizzlies. Not to say that the players that they had weren't good and they shouldn't have appreciated those players, but you still do have to do something to get better. And, you know, there was only so far that particular roster was going to be able to take a team. And so I think now it's just a matter of finding the spot where they can capitalize on the veterans that they have, you know, both on the bench and off the bench. I think it's going to take all of those parts to kind of make everything work together as a whole. But I do feel like Coach Dinkins' emphasis on player development is definitely one of my favorite things about him. It's not something that we have necessarily seen quite so well in previous coaches, and so being able to see, you know, players develop and thrive is a good feeling, and it does make you feel, you know, a little more at ease as far as, you know, what may come down the line.
And I agree. And again, you bring up a great point. There is, you know, there isn't, you know, yes, there's hope and there's excitement, but there's also a confidence there. You know, it's not like when Dave, you know, or excuse me, when Chris Wallace and others were there, where you hope they looked into, you know, something that made sense. With this front office and coaching staff, there's a confidence that they're going to make the right decisions, and they've all, and luck, some luck is involved. You know, let's put it this way. Luck was involved when the Grizzlies got Ja Morant. That's not taking anything away from anybody. It's just recognizing the truth. But what they've done so far in the 18 months that they've had Ja Morant gives nothing but confidence to, you know, you, I, and others, everybody who loves the Grizzlies, you know, that this truly is the start of something really special. But what also makes it special, Amy, is the interaction that you have with people who are passionate, you know, about, you know, the Grizzlies. You know, that's the, you know, I know me and you share that passion. It's fun to interact with others as well. But I know also that it's a new season, plenty of stuff on the horizon for you in 2021 through the Flyer and through All Heart and Hoop City. Just, you know, what could people be looking from you on your end as the season gets going, you know, with all the different irons in the fire that you have going on covering the Grizzlies?
You can expect that I'm going to absolutely abuse Photoshop in some very humorous ways going forward. I will continue to do that. I may reclaim my title as the foremost bear meme maker on the internet. I have a whole stockpile of bears that I can use. You know, I've got one idea that I don't really want to give away yet, but it will be something that will either come up on the Flyer website or on All Heart. So if you know the places where my work is available, when you see it, you'll know.
And so I want to run a few ideas by you, and this may already hit on what you're doing, or it may not. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Greek mythology, Amy, and there's a famous scene in the Clash of the Titans movie, the remade one with the Liam Neeson, where he says, release the Kraken. I really want to take Taylor Jenkins' face, put it on Liam Neeson in that shot, and have him say, unleash the unicorn. When it comes to Jaren Jackson, and then, of course, being a huge, huge Batman fan, I look forward to the creativity that you've got with Desmond Bane and, of course, the character of Bane. So we may be able to talk about some ideas in time, if you wouldn't mind.
You know what? That definitely can happen. your wish to see something with Liam Neeson's character from Clash of the Titans, I think I can make that happen for you. A lot of times, and this is probably going to sound really conceited, a lot of times the things that I make them because they just amused me to do. And everybody else just gets to benefit by being able to experience them as well. You know, I am a very big fan of not taking myself too seriously, and also not necessarily taking basketball too seriously, which is not to say that I am not serious business about it. I am, but sometimes you have to find ways to enjoy. I mean, I had to find ways to enjoy being a Grizzlies fan when actually watching the Grizzlies play was not the thing that was going to make you feel good. Because really, those of us who have closely watched the team over the last several seasons, like, we have suffered. We have suffered greatly. We have watched some tremendously horrible basketball. So, you know, all of the good things that are due to come our way, I kind of feel like, not necessarily that it's owed, but it's a, this is what we suffered for, you know, this is what we watched a bunch of really tremendously bad basketball games for, was for the privilege of being able to have John Morant play on our team. He is definitely a very special player, and I hope that we'll see him in Memphis as long as we got to see Mark and Mike. I know that that's not typical in the league now, but I selfishly would love to see us hang on to those guys for absolutely as long as we can. If there's going to be a team that actually takes this franchise on a deep title run, John, Jaren are going to be a part of it in some fashion. That's pretty much it.
I 100% agree. And I'll say this, you know, you hit the nail on the head when it comes to, first off, John, Jaren, you know, they're going to have beyond what their wildest imagination could possibly come up with when it comes to support from the city to hopefully keep them here for as much or all of their careers as we can. But I think that you also bring up a really good point just in general. You know, it may not seem like it makes sense that, you know, when it comes to your passion, you need to make sure you don't take it too seriously. But that is true, because a lot of times if you're passionate about something, whether it be, you know, through creative means on your end or writing a piece, doing a podcast, whatever it may be, you know, your best work's when you're having fun with it, because that's what's going to allow for you to utilize the talents that you have. And that's what a lot of NBA players will say as well. They may not take the game too seriously because they know they perform better when they're having fun with it. So I cannot agree with you more in terms of, if you're passionate about something, you know, try not to take it just too seriously, because a lot of times you're going to get the most out of it, and the people who enjoy your work are going to get the most out of it when they know that you're having fun.
I agree. And I hope that everybody listening knows that if you've read something from me, I am having fun. That is, you can pretty much bank on that. And if there's a really ridiculous image in something that I wrote, I made it, and I definitely had fun making it. So, yes, that is one of the things that I share with the world. You're all welcome for it.
We appreciate it, and hopefully we'll be able to see more of it, because right now the world, everybody in the world knows we need as much fun as possible. And speaking of fun, this has been an absolute blast, Amy. Again, Amy, you can find her on Twitter at Hoop City Hellcat. She is a founder and a co-founder and site manager of the blog All Heart in Hoop City, as well as the beat writer for the Grizzlies over at the Memphis Flyer. But Amy, it's been an absolute pleasure. We certainly will have you again, and if you'll stick with us, but just want to, before we end this show, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
You are welcome. I do have to interject one thing. I am half of the beat writing team for the Memphis Flyer. There are actually two of us. Sharon Brown, who was my partner in starting All Heart, is also my partner in covering the team for the Memphis Flyer. So I am a beat writer for the Memphis Flyer, but there's two of us. So, you know, lots of extra added value there.
Of course. And a lot of times the interactions, it's always joyous to get to talk with both you and Sharon on Twitter. But just, you know, y'all's work as well together as a duo is amazing. So certainly with all her great work, certainly want to make sure she gets the respect she deserves. You know, the combo of y'all certainly makes, you know, being a fan of the Grizzlies just better. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. She is Amy Stigemeyer. You can find her at Hoop City Hellcat. Myself, my name's Sean Coleman at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, the podcast, wherever podcasts are available. But for Amy, my name's Sean again. We're glad that you joined us, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.